Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, who this week confirmed rumors that her office does not respond to emails from journalists who put personal pronouns in their email signatures. Leavitt confirmed to the New York Times that, quote, as a matter of policy, we do not respond to reporters with pronouns in their bios, end quote. Now, dear Utherin and anyone with heightened gender sensitivity, I want you to know that this next part may be triggering for you. So, if you need to cover your ears and chant your mantras, we understand. Leavitt went on and added insult to injury on X, saying she ignores such journalists who use personal pronouns because, quote, it shows they ignore scientific realities and therefore ignore facts, end quote. I know, even though it's clearly an anti-scientific thing to say, it can still be hurtful. Now, obviously, we know from actual good science, plus all the rainbow reality our former federal research grant funding could buy, that gender is a constructed, fabricated, manipulated event in society and imposed upon individual humans who may or may not have merely male or female identities, as revealed to them by their third eye of inner truthiness. So it's actually Ms. Leavitt who is ignoring facts and scientific realities. But there is a broader problem here. The pronoun bio was one of the greatest public relations accomplishments of the Holy Order of the Rainbow in the last half decade. Making pronouns into a personal choice that people, even cisgender people, feel the need to use in introducing themselves put our gender anarchy dogma front and center in the thinking of every person who participated. And it put the burden on the advocates of the two-gender heresy to look strident and angry and refusing to participate. After all, if they even agreed to put he, him, his in their email or on their name tags, they were advancing our worldview by affirming gender as something you had to tell people about yourself because they couldn't presume to see it with their own eyes. Brilliant. But now Leavitt and this White House, in advancing the two-gender bigotry, have done so much to set back our order's subversive success at reshaping how Americans think about gender, and by refusing to answer these emails, Leavitt is now silencing those who would otherwise eagerly help to advance our worldview. This is terrible. She must be cast out. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, just when we had thought the Brits had exhausted all their excellent leadership skills and progressive education, they've outdone themselves. The most recent edition of Who We Are, the anthology published by Collins and distributed to middle school children in jolly old England, contains a biography of French military hero and saint Joan of Arc, which describes her as non-binary rather than female. The evidence for her gender fluidity is in fact the same evidence which was used to convict her of heresy and burn her at the stake of intolerance, having her hair cut short and wearing male clothing and armor. The gender revelation of Joan follows in the tradition of the play I, Joan, performed at the Globe Theater, in which the saint is a non-binary character who uses they, them pronouns. Now, of course, Joan probably didn't realize she was non-binary at that time, as the concept has only existed for the last few decades. After that super truthy science has now replaced narrow-minded gender superstition and denialism of the gender spectrum. But this liberation of Joan from her own time is refreshing. As a Catholic, Joan was so oppressed by her religion that she couldn't even realize her own gender identity, even though she was clearly engaged in violating traditional gender norms for which she was executed. That and the visions thing. Now, some people are saying the Brits are stealing another female hero away from young women by redefining her as a non-woman. But don't you see, dear Utherin, how denying Joan her original gender actually makes her the ideal female heroine? Whatever. Only when a woman who puts her fate in God's hands, obeys the vision she receives, engages in military triumph and a few non-triumphs, takes up arms for her cause and abdicates womanhood, can she really be free to be the woman she was born to not be? Joan of Arc is an inspiration to women everywhere precisely because she wasn't just a woman. She transcended her womanhood and thereby showed young girls that the best way to be a historically significant female is to be something other than a female. Superb. Absolutely wonderful. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Finally, our most vehement applause and double tambourine award with Birkenstock epaulettes goes to Greta Gerwig, the director of the mega smash hit movie Barbie. This week it was revealed that Gerwig, who is directing the upcoming Chronicles of Narnia adaptation for Netflix, is in talks with none other than Her Royal Highness Meryl Streep to be the voice of Aslan in the film series. Now, I know many of you are unfamiliar with the work of C.S. Lewis and books like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe because we have successfully sheltered you from the perniciously Christian character of both Lewis's nonfiction and the compellingly elegant allegories for Christianity conveyed in his fiction. But in case you don't know, the world of Narnia is a sin-riddled place missing its distant monarch, populated with humans and many talking animals, and what makes this casting choice so amazing is that Aslan, the faraway king of the beasts, is a massive male lion with a flowing mane who allegorically represents Jesus Christ. In fact, Aslan is so famously masculine that only Liam Neeson was man enough to be his voice in the previous versions of these stories. That's what makes the choice of Streep so daring. Will Aslan be a male lion with a woman's voice? Will Aslan be a completely female lion? Will Aslan be non-binary? Will Aslan actually be Translan, the cross-dressing queen of Narnia? We can only speculate. But just think of the inclusion that little girls and Nalas everywhere can feel as they see one of their own being the hero or heroine of the story. Now, yes, it's true that one of the most poignant scenes in the first book involves Aslan sacrificing himself on the stone table and allowing himself to have his beautiful mane humiliatingly shorn away. But not to worry. Surely, the hyper-creative Gerwig can come up with a similarly stunning humiliation for Translan, whatever shape and gender markers he, she, or they may have. But if Gerwig is indeed going to go down the road of gender-bending Narnia, then go all the way, baby. Perhaps Mr. Tumnus could become a girl. Maybe Mrs. Tumnus could be just another Mr. Certainly, there's no reason to keep the White Witch as a female. After all, witch is such a stereotypical slur against strong, intelligent, educated, driven women. Instead, transform that character into the White Warlock, since making the villain be a man is much more in line with feminist ideology, right? Clearly, the children could all be girls, or all boys, or even some whose gender can't even be categorized. And the prophecy could simply be four gender-neutral monarchs to rule over Narnia instead of two sons of Adam and two sons of Eve sitting on the four thrones of Cair Paravel. Instead of the overtly Christian idea of Narnia being frozen in a climate that is always winter and never Christmas, it could be always spring but never Earth Day. Or just a really hot climate change ravaged hurricane season, perhaps. There's just so much that can be done to right gender Narnia and turn it into a secularized and inclusive overture to the people of the holy acronym string, and we are therefore truly grateful that Greta Gerwig has begun to take us down this path by hopefully casting Meryl Streep, fingers crossed, as the voice of Translan. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.